Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we're going to be reading a story called They Were Human Once. It's written by Tobias Wade and is part of a collection of stories called 54 Sleepless Nights. I hope you enjoy this story. Let's get started. They were human once, those pallid shades cowering deep below the earth. There was once a time when they could walk proudly under the endless sky without hunching and scurrying in fear. Their eyes were peaceful and curious, not these great pale orbs which glowed in terror from the slightest spark. Muscles once toned have grown thin as twisted wires, their full hair matted with grease, their faces pocked with ruin. I have to believe we were human once, because I have to believe we can become human again if we ever get out of this place. I have to believe there is still some decency in us, something to give us pause before the killing blow lands from the unsuspecting dark. I've since accepted that human isn't something that we are, though. It's a way we act out of fear of judgment in our brother's eyes. But there is no restraint or mercy where there are no names, no humanity without light to witness the horrors we subject one another to. First, there were three of us, waking in the dark. We were not afraid because we had each other, lending encouragement and support through hollow words we did not believe. None of us knew how we came to this place, so long as we could remember ourselves and the lives we once lived. We had faith that this moment was an aberration that we could endure together. We explored these underground passes and laughed with joy to find the clear running stream and the edible fungus that lined its banks. We sang songs and told stories of our lives to pass the time, trusting and loving one another as we sought to know our companions the best we could. Then there were four of us, and we welcomed the newcomer and promised to keep him safe. We showed him how to navigate the dark passages by feeling along the walls, and how to gather food and where to sleep where the moisture didn't seep through. Then five of us, each time walking to find another without knowing where they came from. And so we told our stories again, although each time we spoke about our old lives, the goal subtly shifted from getting to know each other to needing to remind ourselves of who we used to be. We began to take parts of the passage as our own, marking the lines between us with our scents. Then six, then seven, until we became sure that we weren't finding our way here by accident, but we kept pretending all the same because someone putting us here meant that we weren't waiting to be found. We were already found, but we would not be saved. Then eight, nine, more it seemed with every awakening, although it became harder to keep track when we stopped sharing our names. To know someone's name was to have power over them, reminding them that their actions are constrained by their humanity. There is freedom in having no name, and in knowing each other only by the strength of our arms and the quickness of our feet. One of the newcomers wouldn't stop crying, and the sound echoed hauntingly through the stone corridors of our domain. We didn't need words or names to descend upon her and beat her into stillness. We all took pieces of her back to our territory with us, and so I don't know which of us tasted the meat first, but I do know that marked the last point we ever called one another by name. It was a lesson the newcomers were slow to learn. They would talk and sing and try to get to know one another, but they learned swiftly that they would be beaten for speaking the tongue of their old life. We knew our territory and how to survive on our own, but we knew we could never hold it if the others worked together against us. Without words, but with common understanding, we came to attack any who spoke to keep them from bonding together, a feral pact that broke each newcomer down as swiftly as they arrived. Besides, it was painful to hear words and names and songs, a reminder of life that had forsaken us. The day the electric light turned on should have been salvation. The light bulb dangling from the ceiling of the tunnel showed that there were wires, and that perhaps they could be followed back to civilization. We all gathered around the edge of shadow, terrified to reveal ourselves fully to the others or ourselves. We prowled along the edge of the light, growing and shoving one another, trying to get someone else to investigate first. One man dared crawl into the light, face pressed into the ground against the searing brightness. He was thin and naked, and he trembled with each jerky motion, but he persisted all the way into the room to sit directly under the light. The way he pressed himself to the ground reminded me of a prayer, And when he lifted himself, there were tears streaming down his face from the beauty and blinding brightness that was the single bulb. And then, howling at his own wretchedness, he leapt from the ground and smashed the thing, unable to bear it any longer. The room descended into darkness, and chaos immediately followed. It had been a long time since so many of us gathered in one place, and we all descended on the man in blind rage at the blasphemy he had committed against the light. Bodies writhed and churned over one another as they grasped at him, pulling at his skin and hair, ripping fingers from his hands and twisting his body apart from all directions. "Mom, make him stop!" I heard him cry. I often wondered whether he spoke out of a wild fantasy or whether he recognized his own mother among his assailants. I never dared speak the question aloud, though, and do not know if there were any still capable of response, even if I did. No one hid in shame that they were eating him this time, knowing they could not slink away without losing the precious chance to be nourished by one more handful of flesh or warm blood stolen from the still-living victim. But there were so many of us, and we were so desperate, and in the dark we didn't care whether we were consuming the original blasphemer or someone else we could overpower. We didn't even stop to think where the light came from, or at least I didn't. We just kept kicking and biting, bodies squirming over one another, hoisting rocks to smash anything that moved and then shoving it indiscriminately into our mouths before it was consumed by another. And the more who died, the more jealously we fought over their bodies, knowing we could not retreat without their meat being stolen from us. I don't know how many of us crawled away from that bloody mess. More lights were coming on before we could finish, bright lanterns accompanied by the shouting of human voices. Real humans, standing upright and wearing clothing and calling to one another with words. Some of us fled into the dark, hauling with them as many bodies as they could carry. Myself and others surrendered to the burning light and pressed ourselves against the floor. The original occupants of that place spent a total of 167 days in the darkness, although I was the only one of the first comers to survive. I heard the words social experiment and terminated authorization, but I couldn't look them in the face or properly understand what was being said to me. The men in suits had a lot of questions, and they seemed confused that I was unable to answer them. I remember them talking amongst themselves, not understanding how I could have forgotten a language after less than 6 months away from civilization. It wasn't that I had forgotten, though. It's just that my brain would let me hold on to the meaning of words without accepting the knowledge that I was human once, a responsibility too heavy for me to bear. That's the end of the story. I hope you enjoyed it. Let me know in the comments below or wherever you can. And like the video episode. Subscribe for more. You know, all the things that we blabber on about in these kinds of videos. But anyways, I hope you enjoyed yourself. If you're a patron, thank you for being one. Really appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed yourself here. If you'd like to come hang out with us on Discord, well, you can find links to that in the description of this episode. Also links to Patreon if you'd like to support this channel even more, which is greatly appreciated. Thank you to those who are patrons. I guess with that said, there's nothing much else to ramble on about. I hope I'll see you in the next one. Take care now. Bye-bye then.